to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. I'm your host, Jimbo Fisher. Joining me this week, as always, is the one, the only, Randy Darsh.
Hello everybody. Glad to be back for yet another week. Fun with college football and ready for next week. Should we just go ahead and get right into some of these games from last week?
Randy, there's a lot to talk about this week. I just want to brush over. Rapid recap, folks. Rapid recap of week 8. First of all, we got to talk about one of the biggest upsets of the season. This is Friday night. Louisville ending number 2 Miami's dream season, beating them 24-21. Randy, in your opinion, has Louisville become the team to beat in the ACC?
I don't know if I would go that far as the team to beat. They still have Georgia Tech, who I think is the best team in the conference. I guess Clemson exists as much as I can say for them.
Not really.
They're actually bad.
That's for sure. Yeah. But regardless, I mean, the ACC, it feels like it's been shaken up, right? Because we were kind of assuming for quite a while now Miami was going to be pretty much a lock for the championship in conference and the playoffs. I don't know about that anymore. I think their dream season might be a little bit over.
Yeah, so if you look at the ACC standings, you still have three teams, Georgia Tech, Virginia, and SMU, who are all undefeated in the conference still. And Louisville has one loss in the ACC. Now with Miami one loss in the ACC, like the math just isn't adding up for them to have a realistic shot at making the conference championship game. So it's like, what's going to happen? I mean, granted, if they run the table, I think they're probably in regardless. But regardless, this is the end of Carson Beck's Heisman hopes. I mean, you can't throw 4 interceptions in a game and hope to win anything. And the biggest, toughest game of the year, right?
He's done it again, I kept thinking. When he was throwing those picks.
He's done it again.
Speaking of doing it again, Georgia just keeps winning. I don't know how. They took down Ole Miss, number 5 Ole Miss. Randy, do you think Lane Kiffin was distracted in this game by all the coaching offers?
I think he was perhaps a bit distracted if anybody paid attention to what he was tweeting about a couple hours before game time. If anybody's aware, we're not going to bring it up on the show. This is a family-friendly show.
Okay.
Georgia scored 17 points in the fourth quarter to Ole Miss's 0. And we saw Georgia do this earlier in the year with Tennessee. The really only team they didn't have to do that against was us.
Yeah.
Well, I say didn't have to. They had to, but couldn't. But you know what I mean.
They didn't, yeah.
It's just crazy. Georgia has this invincible plot armor. They're 6-1 with, like, on paper, not the best of teams. Like, their position groups don't have the best stats. Like, they're, like, ranked 20th to 25th at each position group, if that makes sense. But they still just know how to win these games. And it's just crazy to see. That's Kirby Smart putting on a coaching clinic. Yeah. It proves he is probably the best coach in college football right now in terms of actual coaching ability.
Yeah. I mean,
they have a very manageable schedule to end the year with Florida, Mississippi State, Texas, Charlotte. Their toughest game left is probably Georgia Tech. Like, that's
wild.
Looking to be a great showdown.
Yeah, that should be a fun one later on.
And it could determine a playoff spot legitimately.
I think
even though it's an out-of-conference game, which I think is wild, but also great for the sport.
It'll be a playoff caliber game for sure. Speaking of playoffs, number 12 Notre Dame took down number 20 USC 34-24 in a pretty dominant win at home. Randy, in your opinion, is Notre Dame officially a lock for the college football playoff?
I'm not going to say a lock, especially because they don't have a conference championship game to play in. But, I mean, their chances are looking good. A 2 loss Notre Dame, I think, has a pretty good shot. It's just hard to, like, see how all the math could shake out in all these potential scenarios when we still have a few games to play. It's kind of hard to do all that. But they have a great shot. Like, their season, I never thought their season was quote unquote over after starting 0-2. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those, like, okay, if they're not going to play well enough to win the games, then there's no point in even talking about them. Like, they're 0-2, probably going to lose another, right? But lo and behold, here they are, 5-2 with a manageable back half of the schedule.
Very easy schedule. Yeah, very easy. So I think they went out. They'll be a fun team to watch. They looked good. I actually watched this game on Saturday night and was pretty impressed. Their running back, who's not getting enough love, if you will, Jeremiah Love, I think is one of the best in the nation and should be in the conversation for Heisman. I know Heisman is a quarterback award, but he is the team, and I love to see that.
I think we need to dole out this was their Super Bowl awards. Would you like to go ahead?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to the Ohio State fans in front of me. after beating up a sickly child in the Wisconsin Badgers. Dude, there were so many Ohio State fans at Camp Randall, and I don't know, man, it broke my heart. If I had to give it to a team and not a fan base, I'm going to say Minnesota, taking down Nebraska, 5-1 Nebraska. They had a pretty dominant win at home, 24-6. Just, come on, like, guys, like, this is peak Minnesota. They catch a red-hot Nebraska the very week that Matt Rhule is interviewing for Penn State. Like, that is peak Gopher football right there.
You know. So I was going to actually bring up Minnesota as mine, but since you already said it, yeah. I'm going to go bring up Texas in overtime, defeating the mighty Kentucky Wildcats by 3 to improve in 5-2. Only one conference loss on the year.
Yeah.
They're getting their hopes up for that playoff push. We'll see what they can do with Arch Manning, you know. As far as the elephant in the room, I'm going to be honest, Jimbo, I wanted to troll you a little bit with this and say Minnesota.
Oh my God.
Because they're sitting at 5-2.
They played no one.
3-1 in the Big Ten. They have technically on paper a shot. Granted, they still got to travel to Oregon.
Yes.
And they still play at Iowa.
They got to play good teams.
You know, but they could finish 9-3 and they could be arguing in favor of a playoff spot. So I'm just saying, it could happen. But would you not find it hilarious for Minnesota to make the playoffs and then just get destroyed by 50 points? Would you not love it?
They would, but yeah, a playoff is a playoff, man. Like, we've seen teams like, you know, Boise State's really happy they made it. Indiana's still, like, riding off the high of their playoff shot last year. I cannot let them get that close to that kind of success.
My real elephant in the room award I'm going to give is to Wisconsin, because
discuss it.
Why are you guys not joining the coaching carousel? You have to join it early.
I know.
As early as you possibly can. Like, is there really any hope for Luke Fickell to turn this around? At what point do you also fire your AD?
Dude, the AD's the problem. Like, for as much as we crap on Fickell, and we should, Chris McIntosh shares responsibility with all of this. He sent out an email today to all season ticket holders. I got it. My jaw dropped. As he was going on and on about how, you know, I know this was it's been a disappointing season and what happened on Saturday was embarrassing, but, you know, I have full faith and commitment in Luke Fickell to guide this program. And it's just like, dude, like, why are you doubling down?
Why do you have that faith? Where do you get this from?
Right. Like, what in what world? Like, it's not even like, it would be one thing if, at least when Scott Frost was going 3-9, like, Nebraska kept losing these close games, you know? Like, it's one thing to lose a lot of games that are close and competitive and we just couldn't finish or didn't get lucky, right? This isn't that. Dude, we've been shut out 2 games in a row at home. Like, we can't get anything going. Like, it's obvious. Let it go. And we face Oregon this coming week. Like, dude, I don't know what it's going to take, because we're not winning. Like, we're going 2-10 this year. But, like, clearly that's not enough for him to even consider firing Fickell. So I don't know, man. I don't know what to do.
My thing is, I wonder, like, I don't know how big his buyout is, but if he's got a big buyout, maybe he's just going to wait it out another year.
It's not that
big coaching carousel.
Dude, that's the thing. I want to say $26 million-ish.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
I mean, for these rich dudes, like, we're building.
Y'all have a wealthy-ish alumni base. Like,
we have the money. We can have a bake sale outside Camp Randall. We'll make it work. Right. So it's not the money. It's the pride of the AD. Because, like, he made the ballsy move to fire Paul Christ. He made the ballsy move to not hire Jim Leonard and to spend a ton of money on Fickell getting him in town. And, like, he doesn't want to admit failure. But this
and
is
that,
failure.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Because it's like the vetting process of a head coach just seems to have completely failed with Fickell. Because now some things in hindsight kind of make sense. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, did he just happen to get very lucky to have a Cincinnati team with, like, 3 – first-round NFL talents on the same team and be able to beat up on American teams and get into the playoffs? Sure, it was unprecedented for a G5 to make it in, but, like, when you look at who they had to beat to get in there, yeah, they beat Notre Dame early in the season, but, like, Notre Dame's known for dropping those games, let's be honest.
In hindsight, you know, in hindsight, I think a lot of it was there was a period of time there where he was going after guys in Ohio who were really good, but maybe not quite good enough for Ohio State, and he was like, hey, come here. Let's get it done here. Let's build something here. And it was a good pitch. It was a good sell. He recruited well for Cincinnati. But that just, like, that doesn't work in Wisconsin. That doesn't work in the Big Ten, really. Like, we're not chippy, scrappy underdogs. Like, we're expected to win these games. And just, His entire pitch, his entire philosophy has failed in the big leagues. He needs to get out. He needs to be gone. It's the elephant's huge, Randy.
Somebody that knows how to manage a program at this level. That's what I'm saying. It might be best to get like a coordinator at a Big Ten program.
Yeah. Give me an OC.
Coordinator for me, because they're going to know how to set up a program. They've been recruiting these high-level recruits. They know how to pitch it to them. Yeah. They know what they're doing. They're going to be way more comfortable stepping into that role than somebody that's trying to pitch to, you know, maybe lower-tier recruits, smaller recruits, having to give a different pitch, having to build the program a different way.
Very different.
Do you have anybody on your weekly coaching?
This week?
Little.
Oh, golly. I mean, can I double down and say James Franklin again? Like, that's the guy. Here's the guy. Like, I was talking to my dad this weekend. We talk football. We're chopping it up. This is the consensus with the Wisconsin fan base is it's now that the dust has settled. Wow. I can't believe Penn State actually fired him. What were they thinking? Like, he is a good coach. I know he lost three games, whatever, dude, he lost three close games. It's obvious. Like, this was just a one-time thing. Like, he is still an elite coach. He's an elite recruiter. He's a top 10 coach in the nation. He's going to get the job.
Do everything you can. You should be opening up the Mack
get
trucks.
James Franklin. Because, like, this is our one chance, dude, at a coach of that caliber. Do it before Florida gets him.
And the thing is, he's probably going to have learned some lessons. Like, sometimes a change of scenery is going to be best for both the program and the
100%.
Coach.
100%.
And that could be it. Y'all should be going after him. And so to wrap up the segment, do you have your elephant in the room award recipient?
My elephant in the room will go a bit lighter here. Is Texas A&M, who has had a shockingly easy SEC schedule, maybe the easiest in the entire conference.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But they're undefeated. They shouldn't be. Like, who have they played? Who has Texas A&M played?
Okay, so I have been making this point in private with some of my Alabama friends. So far, they've played four of the bottom five teams in the SEC.
Insane. Insane luck.
And they've won very close games.
All close.
All of them.
Yeah, they're not
blowing
these guys
nobody.
Out.
They're going to go 9-4 like they always do, and they're going to pretend to be surprised.
Yep. I can't believe we collapsed.
Here's the difference. Yeah. I got to say, the difference between them, both us and A&M are tied for first in the SEC. Here's the difference is our conference opponents are a combined 23-1 outside of the games they play to us. With the one loss coming to Georgia. Like, we've played the exact opposite schedule is them, but it just feels so fraudulent. Mm-hmm. They caught Notre Dame at the perfect time. They won the game.
Yep.
It just feels like a house of cards ready to tumble. They have 100%. A weak defense, true freshman quarterback. They're bound to get exposed at some point.
And I can't wait. And I can't probably, well, we'll get to it, but probably soon, let's just say. I think let's hop into the biggest news of this week so far, if we can. Florida. Fired Billy Napier, a.k.a. Sunbelt Billy, after 4 years with the Gators. I'm concerned, Randy, and I want your perspective, a Southern perspective, if you will. Do you think James Franklin goes after the Florida job, or is that just not a right fit for him at this point?
You know what? I think it would actually be a great fit, and that's why I don't want him to go there. I do not want him at Florida. I mean, we don't even play Florida that often, but I don't want him in the conference.
Because they have the
with James
have the potential,
Franklin, I wonder... Right? He's never coached in the South, I don't think. Well, he coached at Vanderbilt.
That's
like,
what I'm saying,
you know,
with Vandy. Like, he's got SEC experience.
That's true. That is true. But I don't know if he prefers to stick in the Midwest, perhaps the upper Midwest, if you get what I'm saying.
Oh, interesting. Yes. Regardless, I think this is like this feels like the most high-profile job opening this year by a pretty large margin at the moment. I feel like Florida's going to try really hard to get a big name. The question is who? Like, I feel like there's no openings right now other than James Franklin in terms of like, oh, that's a great head coach. You should try to snipe. Other than maybe Lane Kiffin, do you think Kiffin is perhaps interested in Florida?
He very well could be, because I feel like Florida also complements Lane Kiffin's personality in a way. Because you remember Florida had Spurrier, who was his own person. Okay. So, like, they could kind of do that. But I feel like, I mean, what is Florida really going to provide Kiffin that Ole Miss doesn't? Besides a tighter leash.
More recruits. I mean, Florida is like the state, as far as I'm concerned, these days for getting talent. Other than
that's true. He might have a little bit more access to talent, but with NIL and the portal era, I think Ole Miss is like opening up their checkbooks a little bit more, getting more investment. I think they're elevating their program with Kiffin. And I think Kiffin kind of enjoys the role there. I mean, he's the big name. He can be a little bit more meany and trolly and all that stuff. I think he likes that position. So it would But the thing is, Florida is probably the one school that could elevate his ability and provide more resources while allowing him to stay that way. Right. So I think it's going to be either Kiffin or Franklin. Mm-hmm. If I had to like pick one today, I think it would be Kiffin. Okay. If I had to pick.
I'm okay with that. For selfish reasons.
I get it. Also, Norvell is under fire at Florida State, and you're seeing rumors of the boosters having meetings.
$100 million. So, I mean, his buyout's like Jimbo Fisher tier levels of like, that's how big it is. You know, like, do you think
it is
do it?
Very high? If the boosters have the money, I mean, they're obviously meeting to see if they have the money. So
that's true.
I guess we'll see sooner rather than later. I don't know what the structure is of it, like when it's going to go down, all that stuff. But
it would be funny. This feels like one of those things where, like, we folks, you probably know by now, we always record on Monday mornings and release this on Thursdays. I could easily see this being like, by Thursday, he's gone, sort of a thing.
But it's always fun to listen in hindsight.
That's true. But right now, I think he stays. I think for one more year at least, I think that Florida State, like, I mean, if we're being real, Randy, that Alabama win, like, they're still kind of riding that high. Like, there's still a long season ahead of Florida State. They're not make the playoffs, but, like, they could win out, is what I'm saying.
They would have to win some. They would probably have to beat Florida, which is obviously very doable. They just look so bad. I don't know what it is.
They used all their energy for the entire season on one game.
And they have like that 1-12-0 season. It's just like that program has been broken since then. And I feel bad for them because I feel like we're kind of responsible for that. But
I mean, yeah.
Hey, it is what it is. I mean, we're even more responsible for if we happen to be the reason he doesn't get fired and sucks as a coach. You know what I mean?
I get it. Thing is, all their losses have been super close. They've all been one-score games. So I just, to me, like, man, like, same thing with James Franklin. If you're losing close games, at least, like, your team is still there in it, you know?
The thing is, he has shown that he does not have some of the key abilities you need as a head coach to succeed in this era, mm-hmm. which is Portal talent evaluation is super, super important in this modern era, and he lacks it. Notice how he always misses on his portal guys that he grabs. That itself is a skill to be able to know. Like, it's no secret. There's an obvious reason why the same coaches are the same coaches who happen to hit every portal cycle and the same coaches that happen to miss every portal cycle, like Norvell, like Freeze. Meanwhile, Lanning, DeBoer, they always seem to hit and get the perfect guys to bring in from the portal. Like, it's they evaluate, and they know how to evaluate guys in the portal that have already played college football versus high school recruits. And Norvell lacks that ability, but keeps using the portal.
It's unreal, folks. Randy, shall we move on to week 9?
We shall.
We got a lot of games in the Deep South and not a lot else. So, folks, get ready to, I don't know, watch ESPN.
We can do it rapid fire. We can do this rapid fire thing. Because there actually are some I kind of want to talk
there
about.
There are, but like this, as far as ranked matchups go, we have 3 ranked matchups in the SEC, nowhere else. So,
why don't we start with this? Let's do this. 11 a.m., we have UCLA, 3-4, turnaround of the season. 3-1 in the Big Ten, traveling to Indiana. Is there any chance?
I want
to
believe.
Any chance?
I want, because guys, like, I hate it. I hate Indiana so much. So, like, I'm rooting for him. I think if this was at UCLA, honestly, there might be a chance just because, like, the time zone difference is, like, so – like, the travel distance, you know what I mean, is, like, so big nowadays between these kinds of schools. But I think this being at Indiana, like, goes in their favor so much. So, no, I don't think there's a chance, if we're being real.
Ole Miss at Oklahoma. Do you think any of these teams have serious playoff potential?
I still think Ole Miss has the chance. In that, I mean, I think they're a very talented team. That lost to Georgia was close. It was a collapse. Outside of this game, they're winning out. Okay, if they can get past Oklahoma this week, they're beating South Carolina. They're beating the Citadel of Florida, Mississippi State effortlessly. They are. And so, I mean, what? Yeah, an 11-1 Ole Miss easily gets in. So they're going to come ready to play. I'm confident in that.
I think Ole Miss has a little bit better chance as being a playoff contender than Oklahoma, but I would not chalk up the rest of their schedule as wins. Like, I just see the type of teams that can beat Kiffin being on their schedule. Mississippi State plays very tough and physical. Florida the same way with their defense. Like, I could see Kiffin's offense randomly putting up a stinker like he did against Washington State and them getting beat. Mm-hmm. So they have to be very careful. As far as this game itself, I do think Ole Miss wins.
Yeah,
sorry, I just Oklahoma. Think they're better. That's what it boils down to.
Again, Oklahoma, whom have they beaten? Whom? I'm waiting.
Auburn.
Yeah, that's
Michigan.
Sure, they beat Michigan. Come on, guys. Like, come on. Come on. Let's move on.
I'm looking. Missouri at Vanderbilt. Both teams 6-1 with one loss in the SEC. Both teams only loss coming to Alabama. Mm-hmm. Do you think Vandy keeps the dream season alive?
100%, dude. I've never had faith in Missouri, and I've been high on Vandy all year. And again, kind of a similar boat with Ole Miss. If they can get over this hump, manageable schedule. Vanderbilt plays Texas, Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee. They can win those games. And I think the world wants Vanderbilt in the playoffs. Is that not like they are the people's team this year, right? We're all in agreement on that.
I agree. No, Vanderbilt has a manageable schedule after this game, especially. But like they've proven themselves to be legitimate. They're very tough on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. They beat LSU, who was top 10 last week by 7. And it was not at all a fluke. They executed better, had a tougher team.
Right.
It is what it is. They've gone on the road twice and beaten two Power 4 teams by 24 points as well. They are actually legitimate and not just a flash in the pan, gimmicky, fluky team. Like they win these games with normal football ways.
Yeah,
100%. So I think they keep it alive. It would be so interesting. Like there is a legitimate, real legitimate chance of Vanderbilt making the playoff and it not being a fluky throwaway game that everybody knows they're going to get beat in the first. You know what I mean?
Like, they actually can making a run.
Make a run.
Yeah, which would be, it'd be fun. As much, I mean, we all know my thoughts in the SEC, but I would love for Vanderbilt to go far.
It's a feel-good story. It's definitely a feel-good story. The thing with Missouri is we don't need to discount Missouri. They also have a very tough physical line. Great running back. Their receivers are okay. Their quarterback has been a little sussy lately, but it is what it is. If it comes down to quarterback play, Vanderbilt's going to win the game.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I like Vanderbilt's chances.
At the 2:30 slot, we also have BYU undefeated, 7-0, undefeated in the Big 12 at Iowa State, who has taken a backslide, 5-2, 2-2 in the Big 12. I think Iowa State wins this game by like 3.
So. If BYU wins this game, which they probably will, they will be my elephant in the room next week. This is peak. Whom have they played? I mean, BYU, no one's talking about them, which is good, which is great. But like, I kind of want them to drop just one game just so they're out of this like playoff conversation. Like them being ranked number 11 as of this recording is too close for comfort in my mind.
So Texas Tech now has a conference loss in the Big 12.
We're all
and the only
this.
Undefeated Big 12 teams in conference are BYU and Cincinnati. And, I mean, the Big 12 is going to get a playoff representative. Yeah, we know that. It's just who's it going to be? I don't know. I don't see it being BYU. I feel like Cincinnati actually has a better chance. Texas Tech, if they can sneak into the conference championship. And they play BYU. So.
That's true. So Texas Tech should take care of business there. But, like, it's a tough one, man, because like both BYU and Iowa State are like two teams that I think of when I think of like teams that aren't good but win. You know what I mean? Like fundamentally,
yes,
these are not
good football
teams, but they win. And so it's like it's you know who comes.
You know what's funny? They are both like bad football teams that win, but they both win in like the complete opposite way. It's kind of funny.
How so?
BYU has like the high flying offense, whatever, suspect defense. Iowa State just gets into rock fights and wins by 3 at the end.
Yeah. It infuriates me. It's not good football, folks.
I understand. We also, at the ninth slot, we have Wisconsin at Oregon.
No. Okay, let's talk more.
Hey, he has faith in Luke Fickle. Is there, I mean, Any chance they get up for the game? Do you have a different quarterback this time?
I'm serious. Like, I'm hoping we lose by 70. Like, we need to not just lose. We need to get lose by the maximum number of points possible per drive. Like, I'm serious. Like, the worst thing Wisconsin can do at this point in the season is continue to lose these games, but like by a touchdown or two, right? Like keeping it close in the fourth quarter. That'd be the worst thing that can happen. We need to get humiliated, and I think Oregon is up for the job. So please, Ducks, pants us.
No, I know exactly what you mean, because Auburn's going through this with Hugh Freeze, where they keep losing these top 10 games by like 3-7 points every single week.
Yeah.
And it's like, it keeps Hugh Freeze his job, and it makes them believe in something when there's really nothing to believe in.
Right.
And it's just crazy because, like, also Auburn, yeah, sure, they have a couple calls go against them in some games, but, like, so does everybody. We had calls go against us in the Tennessee game. They had very bad calls. There was, like, a really weak roughing the passer that granted Tennessee, I think it was a touchdown drive, something like that. Mm-hmm. Instead of complaining and having our AD on the field screaming at the ref, we just continued to play the game, and we won.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I'll say this as far as Oregon goes. Last week, they destroyed Rutgers 56-10. Earlier this season, they got Gundy fired in part with their 69-3 stomping against Oklahoma State. So, like, Oregon, to me at least, like, you know, as we all say, Oregon's playing for clicks. And what would generate a lot of clicks? Oh, Oregon defeats Wisconsin 89-0. You know what I mean? Like, they could if they want.
Yeah.
So please do it. Just do it. Drop 70 on us at least. I am begging you.
This reminds me of old Yeller. He just got to.
You got to put it down, dude. Put down Luke Fickell, dude, and it has to go. Ugh.
In the ninth slot, we also have undefeated number 3 Texas A&M at Death Valley Tiger Stadium. Number 20 LSU at 5-2 at night. I think this is the week Texas A&M gets exposed. So much so that it is my lock of the week.
Like, I was going into the show going to agree with you, like, lock of the week, A&M is finally exposed. But, like, now I'm afraid, dude. Like, what if we were just talking about bad teams that win? Like, is Texas A&M a bad team that wins?
I wouldn't say a bad team that wins.
Like, a good?
Mediocre.
Good at best?
Untested,
yeah. Very untested. Given
because it's not like they're playing, like, equal teams in doing this.
Like, at least Indiana took down Oregon. Like, there's something there, right? Like, there's no major win for Texas A&M. And I get that this could be, but if they beat LSU, LSU's not going to be a ranked team anymore. Like you know what I mean? Like,
right.
But I do think LSU should win this one. Like, on paper, though, LSU dominates this game.
Trying to see if there's any other games even worth talking about.
There's one more I want to talk about. One more?
Go ahead.
Michigan State.
Okay.
Speaking of teams, this is theme of the week. Bad teams winning. Do you think Michigan State has a chance? This is at Michigan State this year. Michigan, like, they won't die, but, like, they're one game away from dying. Do you think this is it?
No, I think Michigan State is worse than people give them credit for. Okay. They're pretty bad.
It's tough. Michigan's going to still save all their power, though, for Ohio State, which I think we all know how that one's going to end. But I don't know. I'm just getting hopeful for this game.
Do we have a group of 5 playoff favorite that we want to
actually
talk about?
This is, we did skip over one, folks, and I apologize. At 11 a.m., we have probably one of the biggest G5 showdowns of the year. Number 18, South Florida, travels to Memphis. Both of these teams are 6-1, and it's likely whoever wins this is going to be kind of in the driver's seat for that G5 spot in the playoffs. Do you think South Florida gets us down, or is Memphis just going to be too good at home?
Memphis lost to UAB, who I guess had their UCLA moment, gearing up their UCLA run after being awful.
That's true.
I think Memphis was looking ahead last week when they played UAB at UAB. But I think South Florida is, like, actually maybe a decent team.
They're actually good, maybe.
They're not G5 good, but actually decent.
Like, pretty good.
I mean, you have to remember, they destroyed North Texas 63-36, who is also a G5 favorite who only has one loss. They beat Florida. They beat Boise State by 24-27.
There was that
they
tough
did
loss.
Lose to Miami.
Yeah, Miami. But other than that,
but I mean, it's Miami. Come on.
It is Miami. It was at Miami. Now, I think South Florida probably wins this one. And again, like, if they can just kind of keep this momentum going, like, they've got the potential. They can at least compete with the big boys in terms of talent. We've seen that with Florida, right? So, like, it'd be a fun team to see. Should they make, like, one of the, you know, 11 or 12 seeds in the playoffs?
One team, G5, that's undefeated is the Navy, a 6-0. They play FAU, who's, like, 3-4. I mean, they've played a lot of very close games. But, you know, it's one of those feel-good FAU. It's one of those feel-good stories. Granted, they still have to play North Texas, Notre Dame, South Florida, and Memphis.
Dude.
Not this season, so that's probably not going
to
last.
That should be a fun one. I hope they win out to at least Notre Dame. That should be a fun,
That would be a very fun one. So it's fun to talk about for now to see who's going to be the honorary Group of Five recipient. Yeah. I just, when it comes to a Group of Five team getting the spot, I want to see a Group of Five team that can actually make some noise in the playoff and not just be a sacrificial lamb as a feel-good story. Yeah. Like South Florida, I feel like could actually beat somebody.
Yeah.
Well, Memphis, I don't know.
I agree. I think the ceiling for South Florida is like probably the highest of any G5 school right now.
Right.
Any other games, Randy, before we wrap this one up?
I think that is about all that I have. All
right.
I'm trying to look for any Group of Five. Yeah, it's kind of a weaker
one of those weeks.
This week.
Yeah, get some pizza.
But these are the weeks where the craziest things happen. True. You never know when you're going to see an undefeated one last team lose to like one win.
That's
a one-win team. Maybe what, 5-1 Louisville loses to 1-6 Boston College, right?
It could be one of those weeks. I'd be down for it if there's some chaos. We're due for a chaos week. There hasn't been like a proper chaos week this year.
Right, exactly.
Fingers crossed, folks. Well, Randy, thank you for joining me this week as always. And folks, thank you for listening to the Jabodcast. It's been a fun one. Until next time, folks, as always, Roll Tide!